prosperous, to have a real good income, high salary, no financial worries at all. Just, I was listening to some folks talk not too awful long ago. There was a young person in college talking about being a school teacher and being a coach, teach young people sports and in school. And the comment was made, there's no money in that. Well, you can be sure that's true. There's no money in that. Some of y'all can vouch for that. But there's something money can't buy. And the truly good things money can't buy. Happiness and contentment and principle and accomplishments for which people are remembered and treasured and appreciated. You don't buy those things. So, but it's a blessing to be financially secure. There's no question about that. Prosperous. Someone else would say, well, to be strong, beautiful, beautiful, famous, to have influence, to have authority, to have some input among people. When you call your name, everybody kind of looks up, you know, maybe ask for your autograph. Well, it's a blessing to be beautiful, be strong and famous, I'm sure. Someone else would say, well, the greatest blessing would be just to be free from worry. It's not to have cares and worry and trouble, to be free from those things. Well, I suppose that I know that would be, that'd be nice, wouldn't it? But you know, one thing all of these things have in common, healthy, prosperous, beautiful, strong, family, friends, security, freedom from worry, all of them have one thing in common, they're temporary. Every single one of them. They're here today and gone tomorrow. The fashion of this world, and all these things have to do with the world, it fadeth away. They can be enjoyed, oh my, they can be enjoyed, but for a season, just for a season. Real joy, real contentment, real happiness and peace cannot be found in something temporary. It's impossible to find real happiness and joy and contentment in anything that's temporary. Because you know it's got to go. And sooner or later it will go. It will perish. Here David tells us, and young folks, try to listen to me. David tells us who the person is who's truly blessed, highly favored of God, to be blessed. When the angel came to Mary, the angel said, blessed art thou among women. Blessed are you among women, highly favored of God. Thou hast found favor with God. Now that's what David's talking about here. Someone said twice blessed. Blessed in things temporal and things spiritual. Twice blessed. Blessed in this world and in the world to come. Well, let's look at it. Psalm 1. Blessed. I say blessed. Some people say blessed, but that doesn't matter. Blessed is the man. That's the very first word. Blessed is the person. The man. And that's woman. Man, woman. It doesn't say blessed is the king. Blessed is the scholar. It doesn't say blessed are the rich. Blessed are the famous. It says blessed is the man. The person. Just a person like you or me. Blessed is the person. An ordinary man. An ordinary woman. Flesh and blood. There was a man sent from God whose name was John, just a man. John never performed a miracle. Did you know that? Never performed a miracle, John the Baptist. Just a man sent from God. It's Somebody asked him who he was. He said, I'm just a voice. Just a voice. A voice is heard and then heard no more. A voice delivers a message and then he's gone. Don't even give me a name, he said. I'm just a voice, just a man sent from God. A man with infirmities, a man or a woman not without fault, not without trial, not without sorrows, just a man. And everybody here tonight will fit this description. Blessed is the man. You don't need any qualifications except to be a human being to claim these blessings. Oh, he says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. That's the first thing about this blessed person, is he walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. What is the counsel of the ungodly? Well, the counsel of the ungodly is the counsel of the world. The ungodly is opposed to the godly. The natural is opposed to the spiritual. What is the counsel of the ungodly? It's their opinions. It's their philosophy. The counsel of the natural man, the ungodly, the world, is the opinions and philosophy which is contrary to the wisdom of God, which is contrary to the Word of God. And the man who is blessed is the man who does not listen to, is not impressed with, and does not act according to this world's opinion, this world's philosophy. That man's blessed. In other words, peer pressure is no problem with this man. He doesn't walk with them. He doesn't listen to them. He doesn't agree with them. He's not impressed. He doesn't act according to them. He walks God's way, God's path. Listen to David over in Psalm 27. In Psalm 27, and this is what the girls were singing about, Psalm 27, verse 11, teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a way of plainness, a plain path, a path of principle and values and honor and truth and godliness and wisdom. Well, let me listen to the voices out here and be impressed by them. Blessed is that man who can say no to the opinions and philosophy of this world. And then secondly, blessed is the man who does not stand in the way of sinners. And the natural man has a way. The book of Proverbs talks about this. Turn to Proverbs 14. About three scriptures over here in Proverbs. The way of the transgressor, the Word of God calls it. The way that seems right to a man, seems right to the natural man. So Proverbs 14, verse 12. There is a way, it's contrary to God's way, it's contrary to the Scriptures, but there's a way that seems right unto a man, the natural man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Turn to Proverbs 16. Proverbs 16, and usually this is the way. What way? It's the way of self. My way. That's a popular song. I'll do it my way. It's the way of pride. It's the way of materialism. It's the way of covetousness. In religion, it's the way of form. It's the way of ceremony. It's the way of works. It seems right to a man. This just seems right to me. And it's the ways of death. Look at Proverbs 16, verse 25. There is a way that seemeth right unto men, unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Now, Proverbs 21. In Proverbs 21, he says in verse 1, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. Aren't we thankful for that? As the rivers of water God will turn it whithersoever he will. And every way of a man, now here's what I want you to see. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes. Of course he justifies himself. Of course, what he does and what his opinion is, what his belief is right in his eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts. God said, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. Moses prayed in Exodus 33, Lord, show me your way. Teach me thy way. And blessed is the man who's not impressed with the world's counsel and wisdom and does not walk in the way of sinners. Now look at the third thing it says about him in verse 1. And he doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful. You meet the scornful every day. The media, that's the scornful. They make fun of precious things, honorable things. They're scornful people, cynical people. The scornful, the entertainment world. They can turn things around and ridicule and make a comical thing out of serious things of principle and truth. Make fun. Your colleges and universities are full of people standing up lecturing and teaching classes that are scornful. Colleges and universities are filled with businessmen, scornful, cynical, medical people. And these are the scornful are usually the intellectuals and educated people and so-called wise people. They're scornful. They're cynical, they're critical of everything spiritual, they're critical of the gospel, the word of God. And these scornful people are not teachable. They know so much more than the simple folks. It's like these Pharisees. Our Lord was speaking and he said, one of them said to him, disciple, where'd you get your learning? This man's never been to school. This man's never been to our accepted universities. How'd he get this learning? He said that about Christ himself. They're not teachable. They know so much more than simple folks. And they're seated in a place. It says they're seated. Now, this is interesting. How does a person come to this place? First, they're walking. And then they're standing. And now they're seated. It's like Christ is seated, never to be moved. He's seated on the right hand of God. He's seated having finished his work. He's seated. Nothing's going to be changed. These people, they walk in the council, in the opinions, in the philosophies of the world, and then they stand and listen and agree, and then they're seated. How do they come to this place? They're seated in a hardness of heart. Hardness of heart. They're seated on a throne of human opinion. They're not teachable. They're not movable. In other words, Christ said of them, leave them alone. The disciples said to our Lord one day that the Pharisees didn't like what you said. He said, leave them alone. Leave them alone. They're blind leaders of the blind. Leave them alone. How'd they get to that place? They just suddenly hear these young people are like the girl saying, teach me thy way. Tender. Teachable. Young. Like clay, pliable. Teach me thy way. Well now, maybe these very girls, maybe you, maybe some other young person, someday, like some young men and women I know that used to sit here. But now they are cynical, scornful, not teachable. They just didn't suddenly get that way. They didn't go from tonight to tomorrow. But I tell you how it happened right here. They, first of all, they walked with them. They moved in that circle. They passed along the way and listened to them. Listened to their opinions. Listened to their teaching. Were impressed with it. But they're just passing by. You know, they still heard this message. That's true. But they heard this other. They tuned their ears to this other. And then one day, they stopped and stood still. Listen. And they were persuaded. And they began to question this book. They began to try to find things wrong with it. Maybe things they didn't agree with. And they were impressed with these people. These were poor people believing this. These are rich folks. These are not too educated. These folks are professors. They've got degrees. These folks were simple and they were people that just ordinary folks. And these folks were important. So they stopped and stood with them. And then one day they sat down. And that's where they're sitting, and that's where they're going to stay. That's right. So blessed is that man. Blessed is that man when he comes to the full maturity of age. He's not impressed. He's not tuned into. He's not in agreement with. He's not in accord with the counsel of this world. He's God's man, going God's way. And he doesn't stand and listen to them and take part with them. And he doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful. But I'll tell you another thing about him, verse 2. Here's the blessed person. His delight is in the word of the Lord. Now that word law, sometimes in the scripture it means the ceremonial law. Sometimes it means the moral law. Sometimes it just means the word of God. David said, I delight in the law of the Lord. Well, he doesn't delight in rules and regulations. He delights in the word of God. Delight in the word of God. And this man, this blessed man, he delights in the word of God. You know, the Lord said this about his word. I was trying to find it a moment ago, but I couldn't turn to it. But I know it says this. He exalteth his word above his name. God exalts his word above his name. That's the reason that I turn, when I want to preach to the young people on the blessed man, I turn and see what God says about it, verse by verse. We'll preach about the priesthood. We go to Hebrews and preach verse by verse. The word of God is exalted above all things. It's above all things. The word of God is the children's bread. The word of God is the green pastures. He said he leads us in the green pastures. Makes us lie down in green pastures. That's his word. Cecil was reading Philippians 3. I've read that. How many times have you read it? Bless your heart, it was brand new. It just was so refreshing. Just fed our souls reading the word. It's the children's bread. It's the green pastures in which we lie down and waller. It's the still water by which he leads us. He leads me by the still waters. That's not the counsel of this world is uproariously disturbing. It's just they can't even advertise on anything on TV. They just go like wild people, you know, talk so fast. I can't hear them anyway. Maybe I'm blessed more than you are. But they're wild people. What's blessing is the still waters. I want preachers to calm down. Tell me what you're saying. Still waters. Comforts and teaches and gives me counsel and faith and encourages me. Read the word to me. The Word is our assurance. The Word is our source of faith. The Word is our strength in trial. The Word is our comfort and sorrow. The Word is the lamp to my feet and the light unto my path. Some things are precious. The Word is one of them. To you that believe, He's precious. He's the most precious thing. He is the most precious. But His blood is precious. We're redeemed with the precious blood. This faith He gave us is precious. Precious. The death of the believer is precious.
But you turn to 2 Peter 1:4 and read this. 2 Peter verse, chapter 1, verse 4.
Whereby are given unto us. First, 2 Peter 1:4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. That by these precious promises, you and I might be partakers of the divine nature. That's how we're partakers of the divine nature, these precious promises. Having escaped this corruption of the counsel of this world, the way of sinners, the way it seems right to man, but the end is death, and the seed of the scornful. You want to escape it? Get in the green pastures. Get by the still water. Get in the word of the Lord. Lay hold of the precious, precious promises of the precious Savior who shed His precious blood to give you precious life and faith and to make your death precious. That's the blessed man. His delight is in the word of God. And listen, and in that word does he meditate. He doesn't read it to argue. He doesn't read it to prove a point. He doesn't read it to get smarter than everybody else. He's like an old cow that just eats and 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 then burps it up and chews it. That's right, just chews the cud. Just enjoys it. He meditates in the Word of God. Meditates on the Word of God. Not just on Sunday morning. Have you opened it this past week? Or did you have to get it out this morning and bring it to church for the first time all week long? This man delights in God's Word, precious promises. And he delights in them day and night. Day and night. Commits them to memory, commits them to heart, meditates. I just know this, and some people talk about, they sometimes compliment me that I can teach the Word. And God does give us some gifts to teach the Word. But I tell you, the way you learn the Word is to study it and read it and cry unto God for understanding. Teach me. Show me your way. Don't let me be wrong. Don't let me deceive people. Teach me. We're not trying to argue. We're not trying to be right and prove everybody else wrong. That's not the goal. That's not the objective. It's to know Him and His Word. Know it. Meditate on the Word of God day and night. Meditate. That's what the disciples said to the deacons when they ordained these deacons. They said, you take care of these things and we'll give ourselves to what? Prayer and the study of God's Word. And I have no right to expect God to send an arrow into my head and say, this is the truth. I've got to study it, meditate upon it. I've got to seek His face, pray. Now, tell you another thing about this man. This man, he'll be like a tree. Like a tree, not a weed springing up to be cut down. Not a seasonal flower that'll vanish in the wind. Not a tumbleweed that's blown from place to place. The Lord selects this work is a tree. I walk down to the park a lot, and I'm impressed by these trees. He says, I say to Doris, look at that. I bet that was 150 years old. Just think how deep that root is, how long it took to grow that tree. That tree has seen a lot of things come and go. Well, this man, this blessed man, is like a tree. Planted. He's planted. Somebody planted him. He didn't grow up in the night like a tare. He didn't grow up like a weed. He didn't spring up like a bluebell. He was planted. Planted by God. Let me show you a couple of scriptures. Turn to Matthew 15. Now this, what I'm teaching is this, that every believer, every child of God is planted by God on purpose. He's elected, he's chosen, he's planted by God. Where he is, God plants him. In Matthew 15, our Lord says this in verse 12. Then came the disciples and said, Knowest thou that the Pharisees and were offended when they heard this saying? He answered and said, Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Every one of them. Leave them alone. Let them alone. They're blind leaders of the blind. If the blind lead the blind, both will fall into the ditch. But my Father plants these trees. He's like a tree planted. Now turn to Jeremiah. This is important. Jeremiah 17. Jeremiah 17. This blessed person, this blessed man, is a tree planted. In Jeremiah 17:5, did you find it? I want you to look at it with me. Jeremiah 17:5. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, make his flesh his arm, whose heart departed from the Lord. He'd be like the heath in a desert. That's a little shrub. Has no fruit, bears no fruit, has no seed, the dictionary said. No seed. It's just the heat in the desert, in the dry, parched desert, like a tumbleweed, I guess.
He be like the heath in the desert, shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in the salt land not inhabited, but blessed is the man.
Blessed is the man. Woman, young person, boy, girl, that trusteth in the Lord, whose hope the Lord is. He'll be like a tree. Planted by the waters, that spreadeth out her roots by the river. He'll not see when heat cometh. Heat has no effect on him. Her leaf shall be green, evergreen, never dies. Shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Oh boy, a tree planted. Now here's one more scripture. Numbers.
Chapter 24. This tree planted. Numbers 24. This is interesting. This is so beautiful here in Numbers 24. Numbers 24, verse 1. Now when Balaam saw, Numbers 24, 1, that it pleased the Lord to bless Israel, he went not, as at other times, to seek for enchantments, but he set his face towards the wilderness. And Balaam lifted up his eyes, and he saw Israel abiding in his tents. He saw the people of God, according to the tribes. And the Spirit of God came upon him. He took up his parable, and he said, Balaam, the son of Beor hath said, and the man whose eyes are open hath said, he hath said, and the man which heard the words of God
which saw the vision of the Almighty, falling into a trance, but having his eyes open, he said, "How goodly are thy tents, O Jacob." Talking about spiritual Israel. "Thy tabernacles, O Israel, as the valleys are they spread forth, as gardens by the riverside, as the trees of lime aloes, which the Lord hath planted." This is Jacob, this is Israel. "The trees of lime aloes." What are those trees? Well, here's the definition. The aloe tree grows in Arabia, grows in India. It's worth its weight in gold. Grows about 8 feet high. It's used for perfuming garments, perfuming rooms, and as a medicine. Worth its weight in gold. That's God's people. They don't just spring up in the night like a stinkweed. They're trees of lime aloes, which the Lord had planted, as cedar trees beside the waters. Listen, this blessed man, he's not tuned to the counsel of the world. He's not impressed with the way of the sinner. He's not sitting around to see the scornful. His delight's in the law of God, the word of God. In that word does he meditate day and night, and he's like a tree God planted. Where'd God plant him? Well, let's see where God planted him. God planted him by the rivers of water. He's got an inexhaustible source of life. Inexhaustible source of nourishment. The Lord Jesus said to the woman at the well, "If you drink of this water, you'll thirst again and again and again and again. If you drink of the water I give you, you'll never thirst. Never." He said to those people leaving Jerusalem, "If any man thirst, let him come to me, and out of his belly shall flow rivers of water." Rivers of water. This he spake of the Spirit. Rivers of water. His root will never be without nourishment within. And then he brings forth fruit. This blessed man brings forth fruit. He perfumes the place where he grows. He's like medicine where he grows, like the trees of aloes. He brings forth fruit in his season. Whose season? Well, in God's season. That's God's season. But also, he has a time. He has a time when God will use him. God raised him up for a purpose. God didn't plant that tree just to be planting a tree. He planted that tree for his glory. That tree will give somebody some shade someday. That tree will bear some fruit that will bless somebody. That tree will be a shelter in the storm for somebody. In his season, in his time, God will bless him. He'll show love when love's needed. Joy when sorrow comes. Peace when trouble brews. Patience in time of chaos. Gentleness when hardness abounds. Goodness and faith in time of doubt. He'll encourage. God uses men and women for such time as this. Man for all seasons. Remember that? Bring forth fruit in his season. A man for this season. A woman for this season. And he'll bring forth fruit. He will bring forth fruit in his season. Paul in Galatians, when they were having that dinner, and Peter, was Paul's friend, and co-laborer, and disciple of Christ. But Peter was wrong. Peter left the table of the Jews, of the Gentiles, and went over here and sided with these Jews. And Paul manifest that season. And the only man that said anything on that occasion, he said, Peter, you're wrong. He said, I withstood him to his face. That's hard to do. That's hard to do. But he said he's wrong. Now, if we're saved by the grace of God and not because we're Jews, we're not going to separate ourselves from these Gentiles. Now, you get back over there. Now, here's the thing. You bring forth his fruit in his season. In that time of God's season, and he's a person for that season. And here these things I'm trying to teach are not just doctrine. They're living experiences that someday God will bring back. God will bring forth to you. And God will use you for that hour. You bring forth fruit. And the fruit is the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, goodness, meekness, temperance. And then his leaf will not wither. God's trees that he plants by his grace, he elects, he chooses them, plants them. Plants them in Christ, the living water. Redeems them by the blood of the Son of God, justifies them. Their leaf will not wither. You see, if people talk about a man being saved and losing his salvation, the tree God planted falling down, well, that's ridiculous. A tree God planted withering? These are evergreen. They're source of life planted by the rivers of water of Christ. I tell you, it doesn't matter if it's a strong trial, a hot, dry summer, a persecution, or a cold winter, sorrow, or age, or that tree's not going to fall. Now then,
every tree which my Father hath not planted, he's coming down.
You say, I know people who've left the gospel. They never were in the gospel. They never were the trees the Lord planted. They never were planted of the Lord. Isn't that right? That's right. They never were. You thought they were. They thought they were. Everybody else thought they were. God never planted them. He said, I never knew you. And then what he said to them in Matthew 7, they said, Lord, we preached in your name and did many wonderful works. I never planted you. I never knew you. You were never trees of the Lord, lion aloes, sweet-smelling medicinal trees. I never knew you. Every plant my heavenly Father hath not planted, it shall be rooted up. No question about that. Maybe in time, but in eternity, it'll be rooted up. But this man, his leaf shall not wither. Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. And listen, whatsoever he doeth will prosper. What he does, from the time of his birth to the day of his death, everything that occurs in his life is decreed and designed and purposed by his heavenly Father for God's glory, for his good, and for the church's happiness. Whatsoever he does will prosper. Because he does it in faith. He does it out of love for God and others. He does it for the glory of God alone. He does it in the name of and for the honor of Jesus Christ. And God's going to bless him. God raised him up for that purpose. I'd like to say that to everyone who enters the ministry, makes an effort to establish some kind of witness or some kind of church or some, I'm just saying this, if God raised a man up, God planted that tree, God called that servant, if what he does is for the glory of God Almighty, not for himself, not for personal gain, not for personal glory, a recognition for God's glory. And he does it out of love for God and love for the people to whom he preaches, solely and completely. And he does it for the glory of God. He does it in faith. Believe in God. Believe in his word. In the name of Jesus Christ, he shall prosper. Write it down. God always causes us to triumph in Christ. Now then, here's the close. The ungodly are not so. They're not blessed. The ungodly are not so. Nothing that I've said here applies to them. They're not like a tree. They're like chaff, which the wind blows away. Without life, without substance, without root, like dead leaves. Blow them out of the yard. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment. Oh, they'll stand before God, all right. Because the sea gave up its dead, and death and hell delivered up the dead, and every man stands someday before God. But what this is saying, they'll not be able to stand. They'll not be able to stand. They're wither and foul. They'll not be able to stand the charges. They'll not be able to stand. They'll follow the judgment. The overflowing scourge of God's wrath will sweep them away. And sinners, unbelievers, are not going to stand in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. Their way is his way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Their way is the way of faith, not of works. Their way is the living way, which he opened for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, where we come boldly before the throne of grace. Their way is the way of the cross. I must needs go home by the way of the cross. There's no other way but this. I'll never get sight of the gates of life. The way of the cross I miss. Teach me thy way. O God, teach me thy way. But the way of the ungodly, it'll perish.